A sky-high fine for American Airlines.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon in for Scott Jagow. Federal air safety regulators are planning to slap American Airlines with a $7 million fine. That would be one of the biggest penalties ever for an airline. The Federal Aviation Administration is accusing American of breaking a number of rules, mostly for aircraft maintenance. The carrier also apparently failed to oversee drug and alcohol testing for some employees. American says the penalty is excessive. It wants a meeting with the FAA to talk over the issues. Overseas markets are climbing this morning, picking up where Wall Street left off. London's FTSE is up 0.2%. Frankfurt's DAX has gained almost 1%. The Paris CAC 40 has climbed almost 1.25%. Yesterday, the Dow picked up 0.75%. The NASDAQ rose 1%. The S&P 500 tacked on 0.5%. Now let's do some other numbers, Olympic style. Michael Phelps won his 6th gold medal at the Summer Games in Beijing today. Record time for the 200-meter individual medley. If he gets 7, Speedo gives him $1 million. And more endorsements are expected, especially in host country China. Marketplace's Scott Tong is in Beijing.
As soon as Phelps got out of the water in Athens 4 years ago, the sponsors started lining up. A Hong Kong MP3 player company gave him $1 million a year. Visa has flown him into workshops in China, an emerging market for plastic swiping. And Speedo hopes Phelps can help it outfit tens of millions of new Chinese fitness buffs. Phelps' agent expects more China deals after the games. But longtime marketers say when it comes to selling dreams here, the water is choppier than it looks. Beijing consultant David Wolf.
The Chinese want stars that they can relate to. Just like in the United States, we want stars we can relate to as well. You know, Mary Lou Retton in 1984, she was the girl next door. That's the kind of celebrity that you want to have in China, not necessarily someone like Mr. Phelps.
There are exceptions in China. Kobe, LeBron, Beckham. The question is whether Phelps has the same transcendent appeal. In Beijing, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Louisiana shuts down its legal cockfighting operations today for good. It's the last state to ban the sport. To some in Cajun country, though, it's the end of a rich tradition that was very profitable in small towns. Kate Archer Kent of Red River Radio reports from Shreveport, Louisiana.
New Orleans-based attorney Art Lentini proposed several bills to ban cockfighting during his 12 years as a state senator.
Some of the venues in Louisiana had over 700 people at events, so it was pretty profitable. Some of the birds, I understand, went for thousands of dollars, you know, up to $5,000.
Lentini thinks the ban will force cockfights underground. That idea disappoints Sydney May Durand. She's a former state legislator who attended many cockfights over the years. She doesn't want her state to seem barbaric, but she says cockfights packed arenas and united families.
I think it's sort of a sad day. It was part of the history, and a lot of people will realize that there won't be some money that had been floating around anymore.
Durand says no one ever kept track of how much money cockfighting generated, but she thinks hotels and restaurants in the southern part of the state will do a lot less weekend business from now on. In Shreveport, Louisiana, I'm Kate Archer-Kent for Marketplace.
High gas prices, economic downturn, who cares? Ford is coming out with a 7-passenger luxury crossover. That's according to a report in the Wall Street Journal. The Lincoln MKT is planned for production next year. Now, Ford hasn't completely forgotten about $4 a gallon gasoline. Instead of going all out with the gas-guzzling V8 engine, the carmaker will only outfit the crossovers with a V6.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting efforts that help save lives lost from sudden cardiac arrest. More on SCA risks and response at suddencardiacarrest.org.
The price of a barrel of oil hasn't been this low since the start of May. It's dropped another $2 a barrel today thanks to rising supplies and weaker global demand. Speaking of energy prices, people in the state of Vermont get most of their power from just two sources. Existing contracts have locked in relatively cheap rates there, but that's about to change. So what's the alternative? Well, they don't call it the Green Mountain State for nothing. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Vermont Public Radio's Jane Lindholm reports.
Two-thirds of all the electricity in Vermont comes from a huge hydroelectric plant in Canada and a nuclear plant in southern Vermont, owned by a company in New Orleans. When contracts with these two out-of-state entities expire in a few years, Vermont's rates could almost double, and residents are getting nervous. At the scenic waterfalls in the center of Middlebury, Anders Holm thinks he's found an answer for his town of about 8,000 people. The local doctor is resurrecting the Middlebury Electric Company, which used the falls in the late 1800s and early 1900s to generate all of the town's electricity. Holm says today the falls could light up as many as 500 homes.
Every kilowatt hour that you produce locally is one less kilowatt hour that you have to buy from Massachusetts or wherever. And certainly I'd like to think that the kind of electricity we'd be producing here is very low impact and supported by the community.
Not just the community, but also town officials. John Tenney chairs the Middlebury Board of Selectmen.
The cost of this power would be a reliable cost, and we would not be in a position that was dictated by outside interests that we could not control.
There's still a lot to be figured out. Anders Holm estimates construction costs could top $4 million. The town's tax burden is already high, so Holm needs to find outside investors before the select board will approve the plan. And that's the sticking point. But Holm and Tenney both seem confident that investors and grants will be forthcoming and that Middlebury could reap the benefits of small hydropower by 2012, just as the state's big energy contracts expire. Local environmentalist and writer Bill McKibben wrote the first mainstream book about climate change 20 years ago. Now, standing at the base of the falls, McKibben says he wants to see this kind of downsizing nationwide.
We have the sun, we have the wind, we have the water. These are the kind of small sources that could give us not only enough energy, but a kind of new economy.
Most officials think small-scale generation will never completely replace the reliable base power from large corporations. But as Anders Holm will tell you, every little bit helps. In Middlebury, Vermont, I'm Jane Lindholm for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. We're always interested in what you have to say. Please join us at marketplace.org and just click on the contact link. Thanks very much for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.